Shane Knighty. You're listening to Missing Curfew.
Now we are running in a pack to the place you don't know. And I want you to know that I'll always be around. Down where the summer and the late nights last forever.
Welcome back to a fresh episode of Missing Curfew. I'm Shane O'Brien.
And I'm Scotty Upshaw.
The Up Dog.
Obi.
Playing hurt, eh?
What a weekend.
You're feeling a little under the weather, eh?
I fucking sure am.
Puke and rally. Just for our listeners, this is a dedication the Up Dog has to Missing Curfew. Not only is he the CEO, he's in there puking. He's back out here doing the show. What a guy.
Yeah, it's not perfect.
It's not perfect.
I don't know if it was from the fucking, you know, the 400 drinks at Coachella to the night we had Sunday for our boy to, fuck, I don't know, breakfast this morning. I don't fucking know. I actually didn't feel good when I saw you this morning. So
I know, like, you walked in and like, I saw something, I don't know.
So anyway, I'm ready to rock.
No, I know, you're
getting a nice little episode for the folks here today. Share a nice weekend and.
Speak about your nice weekend. First of all, did you have any spicy pie at Coachella?
I did not.
No.
You know what I did have was a, I want to say it's Fred's or Ark's Burger. And it was our boy here.
Lawrence Longo.
Sick little burger shop right in the VIP. Yeah. So Loops, I think Loops crushed two of those.
Loople did.
Yeah, he did.
That doesn't use e-carbs. Do you have bread?
I had one. Yeah, he had the bread.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he did the three-dayer fucking guy.
Guy loves music festivals.
He sure does.
Like, is he going to be the guy, like, Loops will be the 55-year-old, good-looking hippie, you know, that's still at the fucking...
He said he was shaving his beard, though, now, after this.
He did?
Yeah, like, he's like, the beard's got to go.
Was it too hot at Coachella for him with it, or what?
You know what? It wasn't that... Actually, Friday was cold.
Cold.
Freezing.
Did you see Arcade Fire on Friday?
No, and that was the weekend before. That was weekend one.
Shit.
Unfortunately. And they, you know, there was rumors they might have came back. And that would have actually made my whole weekend because, to me, just wasn't the lineup. The lineup I was expecting or hoping for.
Well, did someone told me? Javi told me that maybe this is weekend one too. But did Flume and Disclosure play?
Yeah, yeah, that was Izzy's show. Yeah, sweet. Izzy caught Disclosure. The videos
Disclosure.
Of me on Instagram with my daughter Izzy was. It was at Disclosure. It was a dance party sunset. You know, so she got to see like the strobe lights coming out. The lights got her. You know. Kind of turning her head a little bit.
Like too bright?
Yeah, a little too bright. Daddy, too bright. So I put the fucking heart glasses on her and she was just rocking.
I saw some cool pictures where she had the headphones on with the dress and the cowboy boots.
Yeah, so I had this idea because this is probably 6 years ago now in the artist area watching Empire of the Sun.
What a band.
What a band. Walking on a
train. I was just going to fucking say that. I got a video of me and Fact Daddy. Sorry to cut you off. Me and Fact Daddy, side cheese at Bonnaroo, walking on a dream.
Nice.
Oh, man. That was the time. Take me back.
What a band.
Take me back.
The guy wears makeup, though. I remember at Bonnaroo, it was so hot. Or as Lollapalooza, I saw him so hot. His makeup was running in his eyes, and he was trying to play guitar, and he was just like, fuck. Anyway, Alessandra Ambrosio, the absolute rocket from Victoria's Secret and Sports Illustrated, that one.
Yeah.
She had her daughter there at Coachella years ago. And for Empire of the Sun, she was on her shoulders. And I'm like, this is just so fucking cool. You know, this little young girl with the smoking hot wife or mom will always have this memory.
Smoking hot mom.
Will always have this memory of being at Coachella. Like, even if she doesn't remember it, she was there. She can say, fuck, I watched Empire of the Sun when I was two or one at Coachella. Like, this is pretty cool. So.
Yeah, and maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I think deep down, right? How Izzy's, what, 1.5? She'll be 2 in August?
She's 2 in August.
I think her inner soul will always remember. Like, I think you're putting her on the path of you like, know, being backstage.
Let's enjoy some time.
Being backstage at concerts. Yeah. I still joke that one day you're going to be like, hey, Izzy, can you give me a backstage pass there for her? No, Dad, you're not coming to Coachella, Dad. You're done, okay? We're just going to stay at your house in the desert, Dad.
You know me all too well, friend. So, and a shout out to a friend, Stu Heathcote. Stu is
Heather.
Great guy.
Oh, the guy, Richie's
best
guy.
Buddy. Great and guy. Stoli. So he listened to the Stoli pod. And of course, he reached out and said, finally, you guys got Stoli on, right? I said, I know. He's like, he could have let a couple more stories go. I'm like, it was just nice having him on. It was nice having him on.
Stoli made me earn it. Stoli made me earn it more than
Yeah.
Megan Rossi did back in the day.
Oh, totally, totally. Stoli, we love you. So Stu, thank you. My girls, you know, this is a great memory, but he, you know, he throws a great festival and in charge of all like the partnerships.
Was he out there with you? Or?
Yeah, he was there, but you want to talk about a guy that's busy. He was there, but I don't even think he got to watch a show. He's just, he's working it and networking and doing his stuff. But
yeah.
When you're at those things and you think about the infrastructure and the build out, like at the Waste Management Open, we got to see it firsthand from our, you know, from Horty and Dodge.
Yeah.
But like when you see these build outs, it's fucking nuts. They build these cities, takes them months, and they need the brands around them to support them. They need like the sponsors and then, you know, the security and the emergency. And it's just, it's not just going for, you know, mushrooms and fucking tunes.
Well, smoking doobie side stage.
Yeah, it's a full on thing, you know.
I still think with all the connections that you know, with your ability to like to do stuff, I still think you could have a small little festival in Newport. Like now, I don't know how hard it is with all the like the
through the
city and getting the permits and doing that, but I'm talking about actually getting one decent headliner, few bands. I'm talking a 1 day event. Up Dog, fucking don't Odessa. Go full Up Dog Festival.
Odessa, fucking Rufus. Bob Moses.
If you got fucking Rufus,
my morning jacket.
What a festival.
R. Kells.
What a festival that would be. Right? Do you think you could do it? Didn't our boy Alex Goble, didn't they have a little festival back in the day that they did or something? Was that?
I don't know. But
I don't know.
You know what Ohana started off as is exactly like the size you probably want.
Yeah.
Like 1 day.
In and out.
1 day, have just a guy that's, you know, the face of it. You know.
If you ever have your own festival, I got one request, lots of pissers.
A lot of pissers.
Like I'm talking everywhere.
And a lot of bartenders. Eh? You don't want to wait for beers.
I'm not waiting for beer at full up, at the Full Up Dog Festival, I'm not waiting
you'll
for beers.
You'll have your in the sound stage, you'll have your own setup, a fucking cooler there. I'll put the pisser right in there for you.
Happy. Just a bucket'll do. Oh, it makes me miss Bonnaroo.
Yeah, Bonnaroo is the best.
Oh.
I mean, fuck.
Imagine we would have taken these two knuckleheads to Bonnaroo, Binger and Maxie.
Every Tuesday, Binger looks like he's at Bonnaroo.
He looks like he's the guy that's like, you got to walk over a GA and be like, yo, I almost stepped on your head.
Yo, you got any weed?
Hey, bro, I know you got weed. Give me a puff of that shit.
Hey, you want to go take these four babes to the, you know, the Nowhere, what was it? Nowhere tent. No, the other.
It was the this, that, and the other, wasn't it?
This, that, the other, and which stage?
Which stage?
Which, what, this, and that.
And then the party at back together. At 19. Bus 19.
That's
we got glow sticks and all kinds of fun shit. Let's go. Last thing about Coachella before we move on here. How is it getting in and out, the thing? You know, because when you're in Coachella, it's awesome. There's mm-hmm. beams everywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. that weekend, one we talked about last week, you're right with the hashtag Revolve. That party was, but like getting in and out, was it painful?
We had a, so we drove, PJ, thanks for your truck, was huge.
Bubba Ganoush?
Yeah, Bubba Ganoush gave me the new Ford fucking big extended Explorer that he's got.
Fuck, well, that cost you in gas getting there.
I filled her up, it was 160, I think, 170. Anyway, and shout out to Mark Conway.
You know what, listen, I got to talk to this guy, he's moving up to Bay Club, I guess.
Is he? Yeah, he is. Okay, so we stayed at his house in the desert.
Yeah, I met him through Sweet Lou Walsh back in the day. I think he played the Balboa or something. Great guy.
So
a little spark plug.
So we stayed at Toscana. Played 18. Saw our boy Jeff Gale. He came out and played 8 holes with us.
Did you guys play?
We played a quick 18 on Friday.
Smart.
And then we went over to the show like 8 o'clock Friday night. Just the adults. I'll call us adults for the meantime.
Yeah.
But we had a parking pass, so we went in. We got pretty good parking obes, and we walked probably walked a mile. So we probably had a 10-minute walk in.
It's not bad.
I had artist passes, so I was able to leaving was good because we had Izzy. After Disclosure, it was 8 o'clock. We had our nanny I got our nanny a ticket.
Lily.
Yeah, I actually found this ticket. Shocker. So the night, it's crazy.
Shocker.
I'm at this fucking little raging tent. Me and Christina were like kind of bouncing around and I sit on this couch, Obes, and I, right between my balls, I look and there's an artist pass. And I'm like, whoa, artist pass, cool. I'm looking around, no one's kind of looking at it.
It's like $3,000.
Yeah, so I'm like, fuck, is this thing work? So when I left and you got to scan every time you go backstage, I just took that and I scanned it and it worked, right? So I'm like, fuck, so this just fell out or someone had a bunch of extra ones and just dropped one. So
what a bounce.
So we gave it to Lily, and she came and hung out with us the whole day, and then took Izzy home, and we found a ride, and yeah,
nice.
It's good.
The whole scanning process as the weekend goes scanning, like the Friday, you're like, bink, Saturday, you're like, fuck off. Sunday, you're like, get out of my way. Yeah, totally. Like, get out of my way. Totally. I'm going to see Eminem. Like, I'm not scanning this shit. So good for you, Up Dog. Keeping the Coachella alive, keeping the dream alive for the boys in Newport Beach. I want to give a quick shout out to my boy Tom Riley, Todd Pickup. Took me to Vegas, Vegas Caps.
Nice.
Great night.
You saw Ovi get his 50th.
How
was it? One-timer?
The first goal he scored, the 2-on-1. Like, you know how it is. When you're coming in hot like that, and a guy gives it to you, like, he just in motion, one-timed it, ripped it. The second one, Logan Thompson should have had. But Tom Wilson, so I text Willie before the game. And I'm like, yo, I'm coming into Vegas with my boys. And I got to be honest, I'm doing some digging for some intel. I'm like, what'd you boys do last night? Like, you got your playoff spot clinched. You know, you can't move up and down the lineup. You know, what'd you do last night, Willie? You know, thinking I'm going to take Vegas either way. But yeah, if the boys are hung cheese here and Ovi was at the Rhino till 7, you know, I'm really taking Vegas.
I agree.
And he said, we played cards and had dinner. And I said, that's it. Fucking games changed. You guys are locked. You guys,
come playoff. On, Willie. You got
you guys are in the playoffs. You can't move up, really. Oh, they could catch Pittsburgh. But anyways, took Vegas. Shea Theodore, thank God, Theo got the winner.
Yeah, OT winner.
But, dude, I know we get spoiled by that Tom Riley. By the time we left the game, down the elevator, in the thing, back to the Bellagio, like six minutes.
Wow.
Like, this guy is a legend.
How'd you doing the tables?
I actually won some cash.
Nice.
Yeah, I won some cash.
Chip in a chair, baby. Yeah, chip
and
in
I,
a
and
chair.
I lost my ID. Shout out to this guy who listened to Mr. Curfew. So I was going to cashiers at like this
Come
at 12.
On.
I was going to cashiers at 12:30 to get my money, right? So I get up there, I give my ID. And then I hear, Obi, fucking missing curfew, fucking rights. Where's the Up Dog? I'm like, Up Dog's not here. He's going to Coachella. He's like, I fucking love you, but I love the pod. I'm like, hey, love you, buddy. He's like, can I get a picture? I'm like, for get a picture. Grab how much I won. Leave ID. Leave the fucking ID.
And then did the guy?
They got it. They're sending it. They got it.
I thought the guy maybe found it. No, it was you.
But I, you know, last night tried to get a rental car. No ID. Not perfect.
Oh, fuck.
Almost dropped the guy at Enterprise.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, 50-50, like you would have been, I would have texted.
Did you show him a photo of it?
Yeah, I did. I'm in jail. Yeah. What happened? Dropped the guy at Enterprise. Binger's buddy working at Enterprise.
Yeah. Hey, can you go pick up that fucking little
He was
Ford.
Out smoking dudes with Binger, and I came back in. He's like, dude, I need your credit card and your ID, bro. I'm like, dude, I told him a story. My parents in the corner, my two nephews are like hitting their head off the wall. I'm like, dude, come on here. So, and it ties in with our guest today, Shane Knighty. We're going to talk some Vegas Up Dog. I know you love that. That whole, even the fans there, though, I wanted to tell you this. Like, you can see there, it wasn't as lively as it normally was.
So I wanted to talk to our guest about that today. Because Vegas has had winning hockey and exciting kind of moments, right, in that barn since day one. And now, how are they? Are they supporting the boys?
It's just not like a fucking nightclub like it used to be in there, right? And I know
it should be.
Playoffs, we got spoiled when we went in there. But you could see they're tense too. Like they're like, what the hell's going on here? We're gonna miss the playoffs. Yeah. What? This never happened.
It's not all fairy tale land in this hockey fucking world, you know.
You know, and I just watched them play last night about this. They just play slow now, and like I don't know, they didn't even deserve to win that Washington game, but they found a way. So, Tyson Fury. I don't know if you saw the fight. It was unbelievable.
I saw the uppercut.
Fucked.
How are you?
That would have knocked a normal person's head clean
He's
off.
He's just such a fucking beast, isn't he?
94,000 drunk British people in that stadium.
Wembley.
94,000. Wow. He came out to American Pie, which is his signature. Then he played a fucking Notorious B.I.G. song, and then he finished it off with Kings of Leon, Sex is on Fire. And the big man, is on fire. And he's like,
come on.
Like a gladiator running to the ring. I'm like, and I got money on him. I got him at minus 550. And I'm like, easy, big
was
fella.
Was that first round knockout?
Fifth. I said, easy, big fella. No need for 269 to be running to the ring here. It's like the soccer pitch. You had to run the fucking length of the soccer pitch.
Yeah,
I'm like,
so let's keep that heart rate low.
Don't need you getting up there fucking going, getting wheezy on me. But after the first round, I knew it was over. So they're talking maybe him and Nagano. You'll love this. So they're in the ring, and they bring Nagano in, who's the heavyweight champ of UFC.
Yeah.
And Fury's doing his thing, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he's like, look at this guy. He's made a muscle. And then he used, like, a British word of, like, do you have a big cock? Like, he, I don't know what the British slang was, but he looked at him. He's like,
like a big schlong.
You probably got,
you got a big schlong.
And Nagano kind of went, like he didn't know really what the guy's from, like, Africa or Cameroon.
Pull it out. Let me see it.
Nagano's probably like, what do you think? Of course I got a big schlong. Look
it's
at
called
me.
A bat, fella.
Speaking of bats, Up Dog, There's a rumor. We can't say if it's 100% official. We got to ask Chappie. But our boy Joe DeMarco sent me a Twitter handle saying Jay's manager, Charlie Montoya, has to put a mandatory shower rule in.
Boys aren't showering.
Boys are not rinsing.
They're going right out fucking right to the bar, just the sweaty balls.
Fucking pine tar on the hands. Hey, get over here. Maybe that's how you get the broads at the bar. Hey, just pine tar them off. Flowers, we got a new move for you. Get the pine tar.
What about the fucking the stuff under the eye?
I know.
What about just if you fart like a wet one out there? I mean, you want to just have a shower. There.
I mean, I'm telling you, that maybe they don't shower in May, but July... After you're an having afternoon a game, you're getting in there for
you're not
a rinse.
Getting fucking any puss at EFS if you're going there right from the match after that. Yeah, Travis ain't letting you in.
No, stinky.
He's like shower boys.
Speaking of stinky, maybe, do you ever have any stinky guys you play with? I'll go first. Alexei Smirnov. All right. Stinky.
Like
I'm talking in, turn the shower on, out. 3 seconds. You're like, so finally one year in Cincinnati, we got him in the corner and we like had the shampoo on him and we were hosing him down. Like, come on, buddy, have a rinse.
Stinky. Yeah, it was most of the yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Well, speaking of stinky, when I went to Prague, all the girls were tens and all the guys in the bar were stinky.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa,
stinky. It's kind of just the bars have a musk. It's a little musky in that Eastern musky. Block. Yeah, in the Eastern Block.
Blue Jays are rolling though. I like it up. I got them through DraftKings. This one, I mean, brought a tear to my heart almost. Broadway's little guy.
Yeah.
Doing the celebration that Kevin did after he scored. I mean, I don't know. It's just like,
he's going to be a hockey star, man.
He loves the game.
And I mean, he's got a lot to play for.
Yeah.
So looks like he likes the game and likes scoring goals and likes, you know, doing what Jimmy did best. Celebrating. Yeah.
Jimmy was great at Sellies. Fuck, but when he did the point like his brother did, I don't know.
Yeah, it's epic.
So shout out to Kristen. We love you. Thinking about you always here at Missing Curfew. Scoopsy, we love you, fella. Shout out to Kevin Hayes, up for the Masterton. Well done,
of
NHL.
Of course he is.
Great job.
Of course.
Tough year in Philly.
Tough year.
We should maybe call Billy Quinn and just say, Kevin, go down to Quinter's house for the weekend there after the season and just let it loose.
I guess Matt Gell's going to go meet the boys in New York. They're having their year-ender at Due West.
Wow.
Heads up. Sorry, boys.
What's the date?
Might have ruined that for you.
What's the date of that?
Maybe I don't know.
Just slide in there for that. Maybe catch a Rangers game and then...
It'll be a time, I'm sure. Time to be had.
Time to be had. So, Kevin Hayes, congratulations, fella. Up dog, once again, man. It feels like every week. I don't know what's going on. Obviously, you know, he's 70 years old. But Guy Lafleur, old school beauty, Frenchie, smoking darts, hair waving, winning mugs.
Just a stallion.
Just a legend.
Right-handed, just weapon.
3 Art Rosses, 3 Lester Pearsons, which is voted by the players, 2 Hearts, 1 Conn Smythe, and 5 Mugs. 5 Stanley Cups.
Five.
Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So. I saw a guy like P.A. Pronto tweet out something about him, and P.A. was my favorite French guy I played with.
Yeah.
You know, even though he didn't bring a credit card when he came out to California for, it's not nationally
paid. Did he pay back yet?
He paid me back, I think. Yeah. He wants to come back out. I said, bring a credit card and 10 grand on you.
Cash.
Cash.
Yeah, I'll take Bitcoin. Bitcoin's 40.
I'll take anything right now. But he's tweeted out like how much he meant to him. And I don't know. I never watched Guy play, but I just know he had, you know, obviously sick style and stuff like that. Yeah. So our condolences to Lafleurs, to the Canadians. Speaking about the Canadians, I think my boy Marty St. Louis is going to come back next year. I'm going to try to get Louis on the pod here after the season ends, and we'll really... You know,
he should be back.
Yeah, he did. We'll give a shout out to Elliot Friedman. He's good to us. And Jeff Merrick. He went on there and Elliot said, hey, you're good at this. And he said, yeah, I want my intentions to come back. So I think he's a guy.
As long as Montreal, like, you know, understands he's, you know, just lay off the guy. Let him fucking coach.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, media, lay off him.
Lay off.
I think Marty's.
They like him.
Yeah.
Right?
They like him.
What do you got on Marty St. Louis media in Montreal? Let me ask you that.
Nothing.
Nothing. Guy's a fucking legend.
Marty would do this though. The only like, and it's not even, but like sometimes signing autographs when, you know, the Seekers, you know, Marty would sign one.
Yeah.
And then he'd say, okay, who do you want the next one made out to? Like, you know, to Tim? No, just sign it. No, I signed you one. Who do you want this one out to? You know?
Yeah.
When he saw the same Seeker over and over again, I was like, I don't blame him.
Mr. O'Brien.
10 cards.
Remember that guy? Mr. O'Brien, you want to sign my card?
He's
the big fucker.
What city?
Big Russian. I always think he was in Toronto, Ottawa.
Probably. They're
fucking big fucker.
There's Seekers everywhere there. I'd give anyone to ask me for an autograph now. I can't give it away, Up Dog. So, Marty, love you, buddy. Keep her humming. Speaking of love, Up Dog, our boy Ryan Getzlaf. What a night. You know, I think the Anaheim Ducks gave us the smallest suite in the Honda Center. So, I mean, other than that, I told Loomis.
So they're not hiring us next year, are they?
I guess not. I had a great conversation with Scott Niedermayer.
Yeah. So did I, actually.
Great conversation. I hope he doesn't know how drunk I was.
I think he did.
Did he know?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
he
knows.
But that's okay.
He knows.
He actually,
he was laughing. And
he complimented us big time on what we built and the brand. And he fucking, you know, coming from a legend like that.
I know.
Who's, I never played with him, but he just skates circles around me when I was trying to cover him on the wing.
He's just such a nice guy. And the thing about Scotty Niedermayer, we call him Norm. We talk about that again too.
The name's Norm.
Pizza I'm a delivery pizza boy. Delivery guy. You guys should be kissing my hairy beanstalk. what a movie. Something about Mary. Shout out to Mac Al. Mac Al loves that movie. You know, with Scotty, when he spoke up, same as Getsy, when he spoke,
people listen.
You listen. Yeah. Like he was such a great guy. Saw him, Newell Brown, my first assistant coach in NHL.
Yeah, I had him in van.
Great suits.
Good guy.
Great Fuck suits.
In shape, huh?
Yeah, great suits.
Newell Brown.
I said, Newell, you know, you put me on
the power. I don't know if I'll be naming my boy Newell.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
You put me on the power play, you know. You're a great coach. You know. You really knew the game.
I said that to Gretz the one time when he put me on the 5-on-3.
Saw Kat Toskins, talked to all the guys. Anyways, you go. What did you do tonight? Sorry.
No, I thought it was a well done game. I saw Jim Abbott this morning at the golf club, and he was there with us, and he said, wow, like, how special to be able to go out like that. Like, you can't name guys that get to do that.
No.
In front of your friends and your family and the people, you know, the people that you played for, the people that you bled for, like, in this town, right? Getsy was part of bringing hockey to Anaheim. I mean, truly putting this place on the map.
100%.
And, you know, you like to say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. To me, Getsy's one of the best players I've ever played against. One of the guys, as a younger guy, that I always looked up to. Classy man at home, at the rink, and just being able to, you know, fucking play that game. And, you know, they stunk it up, but they played the Blues.
We're going to get into that right now, too. They stunk it up big time. And
I just wanted, like, his speech, like grabbing the fucking mic after the game, thanking the fans, thanking his family, thanking his parents. I mean, thanking the Blues, right? Like, and watching the way the Blues, like, honored that. That's classy. That's what hockey has on any other sport, by the way.
100%. Well set up, dog. I'm going to reach out to the Ducks. I want the fucking picture of the opening faceoff, Getzlaf O'Reilly. I want that picture. I want to sign by both those guys. So I am reaching out to the team. I'll get you a copy, too.
Yeah, for sure. Well thought.
Yeah, Fact Daddy, what a beauty. I love that guy.
Of course he won it back, huh?
Fact. Yeah. I said, fuck. I saw him after the game. I said, what, you wouldn't let it?
Like, just let Getzlaf. Like,
Getzlaf win the fucking. Fuck. Jesus Christ. He said, fuck that. I gotta win that one. And you talk about end of his career, and you talk about how good of a player he was playing against him. And, like, you know, it's gotta be hard for superstar players. Like, near the end, like, he's obviously not the player he was once. But if you think about what he was in his prime, like, disher, physical, fight, block shots, captain, like, he checks all the boxes.
Yeah.
And then you go to what he won. You said it. We talked about it last week. Memorial Cup's one thing he didn't win. He was a runner-up for the Hart in 2014. If you had that one in his shelf, I would say, I still think he's a first ballot, but if he had that in his shelf, he's 100% first ballot. He only scored 292 career goals, which has got me a little concerned.
292?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Fuck. I think I got 180.
You got a little more power play time than me, too.
Oh, fuck. Is he shooting, eh? Talk about the fucking pass, bud.
That pass was unbelievable. Let's talk about you taking the Blues, first of all.
Well, fuck. Are you nuts? It's the St. Louis Blues. Buddy. They haven't fucking won. They haven't lost in regulation in 20 games.
That first period in there, though, when they had two goals on two shots.
I needed that.
I had the towel going.
Yeah, I saw that.
Fucking fans. I was feeling it. And then the second period, not only did it take the wind out of my sails, the whole Honda Center.
It was 20-2 in shots in the first period.
That second period was one of the worst periods of hockey I've seen in NHL.
Yeah, you weren't expecting it to be the best, though.
Well, I wouldn't mind them. Like, if they have the puck the whole period, hit somebody.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Go stick on puck. Take a penalty. Something. I'm like, I was getting dizzy watching St. Louis. I'm like, is this because it's my fourth tequila or what is going on here?
No, it's just a good squad. They're a fucking good squad.
So you like the Blues?
I like them right now.
You think they got it?
I think the Blues, as a healthy Blues, are good. That Robert Thomas, man, is playing great.
You know what? I got to
Kyrou's playing great.
I got to hang out with him a little bit. I saw Kyrou after the game, too. Shout out. I saw Max Jones for Ducks, who's been hurt all year. I said, I gotta get you back in the lineup.
Yeah, what's going on?
He's been hurt. I don't know. He told me, but I can't remember. I like the Blues. I question this to you, my friend, and we're going to do a whole, or we're going to do our playoff preview next week. I question their toughness on their bottom six. I told Factor I having a nice drink with him. He wasn't buying it.
They got any meat?
They got no meat.
McEachern?
Bertuzzo. God love him.
Yeah, yeah. He's a beauty.
I love that guy.
They might play him at forward if they need.
They may.
They should.
But listen, something else I wanted to talk to about we haven't got to in the last couple weeks. They got 7 20 goal scorers, maybe 8 now. So that depth scoring for them, Uppy,
is crucial.
Crucial.
Vladimir Tarasenko right now is playing like he's mad at somebody. He's playing good. And it's hungry and it's smart and it's like right. Vladdy always, man, if he plays on the right side of pucks, he gets way more chances than he does if he's trying to, like, you know, cheat. And he's doing the right things right now, and it's working. And their coaching staff are beauties. Army's assembled another solid team heading into the playoffs.
Goaltending, who starts game one?
It's Husso.
I'm still going Binner.
I talked to all the boys about it.
You did, eh?
He has been hot, man. And by hot, I mean, like, him and Markey have been setting fucking save percentage records all the second half of the season. They're you can't score on these guys. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I think they got a back to back this week, so they'll each get a game.
Uncle on the regular season, by the way.
It's
Uncle.
Done, like, it's done. I'm leaving here to go drink some soup and fucking lay in my bed.
The Brooklyn Nets are already done.
Hockey's done, yeah.
Come on.
Brooklyn Nets are done.
Shout out to Teemu Selänne. That power cart was unbelievable. The golf cart they got him, whatever. That's the same Doom buggy we told the Brett Hall story. That's the thing we drove them when I was driving and you're in the front seat at Gosser and you're like.
It's called the Razor.
Razor. The Razor's Edge.
Can-Am. Can-Am Razor.
Hey, Upshaw. Way to do the moonwalk out of there last night. Getzy, we love you, buddy. Congrats on everything. Paige, his 4 kids, Doc's organization. It was unbelievable, Up Dog. I'm not happy with the suite, though. A little tiny. Got the smallest suite in there.
What the fuck?
We had the biggest guys in there. I walked in. I was like,
come on. Yeah, like, who else is in here?
You're not
fucking
putting
Selänne like
in
us.
That fucking. You're not putting Selänne in
I
that.
Agree. Come on. We're not Selänne, though.
I know, but. Guy, I did play 60 games.
Just such a stud, though, eh?
Fuck, he's got a good tan.
It's just a permatan, bro. It's the color of his skin.
He's just olive. He's just olive.
The olive color.
We got to play Big Canyon with him. He wants to play. So, Doc's great night. Getzlav, love you, buddy. I asked Getzy, I'm like, so can I pencil you in for Wednesday golf moving forward here? He said, I don't know. I'll get back to you. I said, you made $90 million. You played 17 years. You just say yes to that text. Yeah, totally. See you Wednesday at 1.
Are you playing the Monster Day?
No, I got my family here.
Oh, that's right.
So,
you might have to take my spot.
Yeah, you're hurting, eh? Speaking about hurting, Brad Richardson's beak's hurting. He got hit right in the schnozzle again. And I fucking laughed.
Not the nose.
Anything
Richard.
But the beak. The Brockheimer's tough enough on the beak. Shout out to our boy Shup Dog who said that. You know, listen, he went through it. He came to play, speaking of Monster Day, he came to play the Balboa a couple years ago. Puked in the bush day 2.
I saw that.
The Erling
Raab was with us.
But he just got his whole nose redone when he came to the...
And no, I mean, that's like, why you don't get it redone until you're done.
I'm talking like, it was like, I'm like, fuck
me. Oh, no, so he has the fucking... He's got the rubber nose that's now on the side of his
He's
face.
Got the rubber fucking honker.
Sucks.
And now he's got to get it fixed again.
Oh, now he's not going to have any bone in there. Heads up, Richie.
I love you, Richie. It's time to hang him up, I think, though. No, like...
Play till they take your fucking
jersey. He's playing till they take me jersey, boy. So, Richie, we love you. Have a couple whiskeys, buddy. That'll take care of that beak of yours. Shout out to our boy Lucic. Showed up to that game in a fucking... Talk about it. He looked like he could go out to the... What are they called? Rodeos and like wrestle a bull. Did you see his outfit? He looked unbelievable. So shout out to Lucic.
It sure did. Fucking kick ass.
Kick ass.
And they sure kicked their ass.
Quick shout out to Ovi. 50 goals. 9 times ties. Mike Bossy and Wayne Gretzky, who we talked about, Up Dog. I want to give some love to Steven Stamkos. He passed Marty St. Louis for 954 points all time.
What a goal.
And I want to tell you one thing. When it comes to Tampa, Toronto in the playoffs.
Heads up, Tampa.
When Matthew scored 50, the Maple Leafs dumped water on him. When Stammer broke the points record, the Tampa Bay Lightning
Champagne.
Dumped beer on him.
Beer.
Beer.
That's a
man's
drink.
That's a team that's got 2 Stanley Cups to a team. Water?
Yeah,
what
the fuck is that?
Fucking beers.
I agree.
Coop, love you.
Yeah, totally.
I love it. I'm taking Tampa in the first round if they play.
I wouldn't have a beer right now.
You might need one.
Need one. Hydrate.
Weather with Weezy was back. I must have heard you talking about it. And I just wanted to give, do you see the banners of the boys in Florida? There's a big picture of boy Hubie on the outside of the rink.
Fucking
and a
right.
big poster with of my boy Weezy.
It really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Our two boys, bud. Fucking our two young guys.
Let's get out there.
We're going out
there.
Let's
get that Florida sun on the bones. Right after let's have a fucking couple cold ones.
Right after they kick the shit out of the Capitals in the first round. Is that who they're going to play? Yeah, they kick the shit out of the Caps, and then we'll go out there for the second round. So, Updog, love you. Thanks for battling through this, buddy. I know you're not feeling well. We got Shane Knighty to talk a little Vegas Golden Knights coming at you. Welcome back to Mr. Curfew. Updog, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Been on a couple times.
Old teammate. I got a cup of coffee with this
I'll tell
man.
You what, I watch a lot of Vegas Golden Knights games. I don't know who this guy's Taylor is, but it's National League. Sure great is. Suits, it great sure style,
tight,
beauty.
Tight.
Shane Knighty, thanks for joining us, fella.
Happy to be on, boys. Always a pleasure.
That looks like we were talking before. That looks like the Crescent Hotel there, right? I could tell by those blackout curtains.
You know the blinds?
I know the blinds and everything, fella.
Oh, they're always shut.
Hey, in Big D, I needed those babies closed so there was not an ounce of sun coming through because I needed a three-hour shutdown.
I don't think I ever open curtains in a room, even to this day. It's very rare, unless we're in Florida or somewhere where there's, you know, a sight. Either than that, yeah, it's in, dark, cold, sleep. Oh. Yeah, not much.
Fire up the AC to about 68.
Yeah.
Now, is the pregame nap still something you take advantage of? Like, how do you stay so young, but yeah. You look fresh?
Yeah. And you know, that's the great thing about, you know, I've been fortunate that we all have play and then stay in the game is how many jobs can you take an afternoon nap and not get fired?
And go out the night before the game. That's exactly. Yeah, solid.
It's,
I like that.
It's funny you say that. I used to think back, like, of all the time we spent in hotels in our beds, right, over the course of our career. Like, you're in that wrapper a lot, some more than others, but.
The old fart sack, they used to call it, huh?
Nige, thanks for joining us. Obviously, this is Tuesday. We're recording. Big game tonight in Big D. My first question is, you know, what's it like being around the boys right now? What's the morale? Have they been, you know, upbeat the last couple weeks, or do they feel defeated? What's your feel being around the squad?
Well, I think the thing is, you know, certainly a hard loss against San Jose their last game, but I think they moved on quickly. I think one of the good things is they're on the road. So that day off after that loss, and then you're into Dallas in a must-win game. So you can move on quickly. But I think this team's been – they've been in playoff mode. They've been, you know, kind of game seven mentality for a while. But – you know, they haven't been able to take advantage of some wins. There's been some losses that certainly they'd like back, but you can't waste any energy is the way Pete DeBoer described it, worrying about what they didn't do. And tonight, it's one game, and they have to win and try and win in regulation against the Dallas Stars team that's trying to do the exact same. So this team, I think their mentality is good. There's a lot of veteran guys in there, guys that have won cups, guys that have been in the, you know, these type of situations. Obviously, it's new to the Golden Knights. Usually they've locked in at this time. But, hey, this is fun. I used to, you know, you guys know this. These are easy to get up. This isn't game, you know, whatever, 22 out in the cold somewhere, one of those cold cities. This is playoff hockey. You're not in playoffs. You got to win to have a chance.
The only tough part about this situation is trying to, do I make a year-end bender plan or do I wait or, you know, what's going on here?
But I just gotta walk across the street.
We had that in Denver, my first year in Denver Knights, and that's what I would say to the young kids. I'm like, boys, embrace this moment. Like, we weren't even supposed to be in this situation. Like, we were supposed to be done 20 games ago. So it's playoff hockey.
And that's the exact word. I think, you know, I was just talking to somebody about it. You have to embrace this, right? This isn't one of the games where you get all tight and you try to do too much. And I think playing on the road might be in their favor. They've been a good road team. I think at home, sometimes the fans, you get, you know, over cranked up, you know, here on the road, you can worry. You don't need, you know, mistakes aren't as magnified with the fans, you know, momentum shifts are key on the road, and it's about embracing the opportunity. This is why you play the game. This is why you play at the highest level is, you know, obviously you'd rather be in playoffs. You're not, deal with the situation and embrace it.
Now, you mentioned that there's a lot of guys in the room, veteran guys that been in situations like this. Some have won. But the change in personnel in Vegas has just been, it's been just out the door, in the door, out the door, in the door. Too many, like to me, too many guys leaving, too many guys coming in for a stable environment in the dressing room. What do you see? Like, because it just can't be guys in situations. These guys got to know each other. They got to trust each other. And on paper, they look like they should be running away with this, you know, with this thing, but somehow they're fighting for their lives with a couple games left.
Yeah. And I agree more than anything. I've, you know, we've all been in rooms and, you know, I'm just fortunate to be a part of a winner and how important chemistry is throughout that team is just as important as the, you know, the talent you put on the ice, but they, the way they handle each other. And I'm not trying to dodge this question. I'm trying to think of the way it's, I really haven't seen this team together. So, you know, Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty injured in game two of the season. William Karlsson out not much longer for 6 weeks. Alec Martinez comes out. He missed almost 5 months of hockey. Jack Eichel didn't play till February. So to answer that, they've got to find a way to build that chemistry quicker. I think it, I don't think it's developed because, you know, partial injury. And I don't know if there's other factors. I think it's a good group. There's great leadership in there. You got a lot of guys that have been captains, I think. But they haven't really all been in the room at the same time. When you're injured, you're not part of it. They're, you know, you're kind of around. So that's maybe the frustrating thing for me is I can't give a real good evaluation because we haven't seen a lot of the, as you said, you put this team on paper. I haven't seen that team on the ice for a long time. They first time was last game against San Jose. They finally had a fourth line with depth. Carrier came back. Nick Waugh, who's played up and down, first line center, right wing, was slotted in to be the fourth line center. And then they had Keegan Kolesar, who's kind of, you know, big physical guy. Well, Kolesar, it might have been their best line in the first 38 minutes, and Kolesar got hurt in the last shift of the second, and now he's not on the trip. So that's kind of been, you see pieces of it. When it's assembled, it looks good. Just hasn't been assembled much. But I do, you do wonder, right? You do, and that's probably an answer more for the players. As much as I can watch and make my own kind of observations of, you know, the chemistry in that, you guys, you got to be in that room to really get a fair assessment. So of how it's handled and how that chemistry and how it works and all the inner workings within that room.
Yeah. And obviously, I agree with everything you said on the injury front, but, you know, I thought they turned the corner a couple weeks ago. They go into Western Canada. They get a point in Vancouver. They spank the Flames. They lose to the Oilers. Okay. But I was like, here we go. They got something going here. And then that New Jersey game, Nides, you know, we were talking to you before we got on air here. Like, that one for me, like, with everything you just said about all the injuries, I get it, Nides. But at that particular moment, come on, boys. You cannot lose to that fucking club at home. And when they lost that game, Nides, and I'm pulling for them, I thought, I don't know if they deserve to get in.
And that's true. You can't win those type of games. You put yourself in a bad position. And it's kind of maybe been a bit of the storyline this year is they've lost a lot of those non-playoff teams. And you've got – and not even lost in regulation, not even maybe getting, you know, that point, that extra point that you realize are so valuable this time of the year. It's a massive difference. So that was a tough loss against New Jersey. And, you know, the other – it's kind of been the story. Their goaltender was – was better, and that's been a lot of the games this year. And but also you need to provide goals. There's we talk about this lineup, the power they have, and they just weren't able to come through. It's kind of been like that. It's been a real roller coaster this year of performances and games. You know, there's a long stretch they played really well when they were decimated with injuries. They got caught up. They got healthy in December, had a great month. And then after the All-Star break, things kind of fell apart again. Some bodies coming out, and they just really haven't found that consistency, which is so important.
Yeah, and when you talk about the teams, as we all know, that are out of the playoffs, you know, I was telling DB and Cooley this, like, strength of schedule, they kept saying, strength of schedule down the stretch. I'm like, boys, you can throw that strength of schedule out the fucking window.
Because these teams, I agree. And these kids play fucking harder than most of the guys going into the playoffs.
They got nothing to lose. They're like, let's just go out there and snap it around. If we lose, we're getting on the beer, on the bus, on the beers. Yeah, beers on the bus anyways.
Yeah,
100%. You know?
Yeah, like, so. I want to bring up this. The depth part, you know, without quality depth, you can't compete. You know, day in, day out for me. And when I think of Vegas and you know, thinking back to last year, Obi and I watching them fucking, you know, take down the Colorado Avalanche in the playoffs, for example. Depth, like one shift after another, playing like in your face. You can't do that when, you know, missing pieces aren't there. But for me, you're only as good as your specialty teams. And the power play for the Vegas Golden Knights have not, and you sitting between the glasses calling the game sometimes, and as a D-man, you're probably like, fuck, boys, just fucking shoot the, let's keep it simple, right? Like, I always go back to Dave Tippett as my coach saying, like, if there's a face-off one, within 3 seconds, there better be a fucking shot on the net. And there better be some guys there, right? And then that just fucking makes everyone go, okay, like, you know, calm down, but you got to shoot. You got to get guys in front. It's the only way you score goals. So, like, what's, you know, what can change here maybe tonight to, like, have a little confidence, knowing that, fuck, if we put two good games together, you know, we can get in the playoffs. Once we're in the playoffs and guys come back healthy, anything can happen. You think there's any way they just fucking go out there and keep things like, you know, Vegas simple. Golden Knights simple, and simple. Let's fucking go.
They have to. And just to say the power play, you're absolutely, I think you answered it. I think at times they just try to overcomplicate it. And, you know, I think it's the players on the ice. I think they haven't built, you know, you look at some of the best power plays around the league, and those guys have been together, like Backstrom, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Carlson, and Washington. How long have those guys played on the power play together? Or you go to Tampa, Point, Kucherov, Stamkos, Hedman, you know, you plug it here, they've got a, and yeah. It's not, again, that said, they haven't executed well enough. They certainly have enough talent on there. The only thing I think about every time I see them scrimmage, I'm like, man, this is when I used to get thrown on the power play.
Yeah, meat and potatoes.
So he's like, go up there and just shoot the puck. I remember in Minnesota, it happened one year. I went out, I think Todd Richards was the coach. He'd had it. He just sent me out. It's face off. We won the puck. I took a shot. I missed the net. It came out the other side. We scored. I was on the power play for, I think, two or three. So I got to be on the power play 2 or 3 weeks. So one time, on the breakout of back, I came to try to throw a backhand sauce outside our blue line. Yeah, picked off. See you later. That was it.
Hey, that was
good
fun.
Run.
That
was a good run.
Yeah, it was a good run. Yeah,
it was a good run. Yeah, I've had a few little runs. Yeah, when I can get on the power play.
Hey, little teasers. Hey, I had little teasers the odd time too, right? They throw you a cookie for a week, and then they're like, you come in after the week, you're like, oh, that was a good run. So, now I talk about our boy Jack Eichel, like. You know, I didn't realize how hard it was going to be being out for a year and having a surgery that no one had. Not so much maybe on the ice, but how do you think he's fit in with the boys around the rink and just having him around, everything he's been through?
Yeah, I think it's always tough when you miss any amount of time. But what he's missed, a year of hockey and even almost say the last 2 years, the way it's been played out, he hasn't played. And then to come in at that point in the year where everything's kind of amped up, you know, I've seen a lot of flashes of the greatness that can be Jack Eichel, and that I believe he's going to be. I still think that there's some settling in to be done. You know, you're coming into a room. It's not a young room. He's trying to find his place. I think has he really let his real personality out? Again, I don't know. We're not in there, but from what I see, I think it's, you know, you're kind of still maybe just dipping his toe in the water. I think he's getting more and more comfortable as they've gone along. I think there's pressure. I think the pressure's mounted on him. Right now is, you know, this is a guy, he's competitive, but he's yet to play a playoff game in his career. As high an elite player he is, he's yet to get to the postseason. So, but that's what the sport, you know, you don't play professional sports without pressure. So I think it's about learning to deal with it. I think he's played with a ton of different guys. I think that hasn't happened, and maybe as quickly as they'd like, that perfect person to play with. And, you know, everybody thought Pacioretty and Stone, they tried that. Once that didn't happen because those guys weren't healthy, they came back. He had Pacioretty for a bit, that worked. So, you know, right now he's playing. The guy he's probably had the best with is Evgeny Dodonov, who was traded briefly and then not.
Who should be out here with us right now? He should be living in Newport, but.
So I think that's it. He hasn't really settled into what he knows is his line. But all that said, it's about adapting, adjusting, and finding a way. You've got to find a way. That's the situation they're in. They put themselves in this situation. So I think Jack Eichel, to me, needs to be, you know, there's a group of them I got that, hey, tonight I'm looking at you guys. You're the best players, your best players. If you want to win these type of games, they've got to have some sort of impact on it.
Yeah, and you say, like, you know, this team having a lot of leaders and captains on their own respective teams before they got there. To me, there's always the guy that needs to lead the way. And, you know, knowing this guy, Mark Stone, he has been that guy. He has been able to do that. But he's been injured. He's had some struggles. He's now in a spot probably feeling more pressure than anybody. What do you see in him? His body language? Is he healthy? Is he ready to go?
He's healthy enough to play.
Yeah.
I think that certainly something. You watch him play. He hasn't been Mark Stone. I'd say his last game in San Jose is probably his best since this last return to the lineup. And he's a guy that wants to be there. Another one of those guys that you look to be a game changer. If you're going to have a night to break out, both him and Eichel have, you know, been off the score sheet for a while. Stone, since he came back, Eichel, I think it's three or four. They need to, and you don't question Mark Stone's passion. You can just watch his expressions in a game and how much he cares. Even after that game against San Jose, they had to, of all games, they had to do jersey off their back, you know, his head down on the bench after, just, you know, devastated. But he bounced back. And I think, you know, as I said, they got to bring, you got to get excited about this moment, about this game tonight. And I think the biggest positive for Stone, I think that was his best game since coming back from this last setback.
Yeah, and I would agree. And with Stone, obviously, you know, he wasn't the greatest skater before. His back's jammed up. But, you know, watching him come back, his stride looks even shorter than it normally was. And you can tell that he's playing out there tight. But Nides, it kind of leads me into my next question about overall team speed for Vegas. Like, I watched them play this year. And, you know, last year in that playoff series, they skated with the Colorado Avalanche. Sorry. When I watched them play this year, they look slow to me, Nides. Is that a problem moving forward? Or am I off, you know, am I off a little bit?
No, I think it's about, you know, I don't think the guys have gotten slower or the players. I think just the way in which they play is, it hasn't been as fast. And, you know, they're such a good rush team. I think the breakouts at times, that's, you know, they've wanted to be a good defending team. And you look at the way the game's played now, that speed has to start. You know, I look at Shea Theodore, you know, Petrangelo, guys that can break the puck out. I think they miss Martinez. He makes a lot of subtle plays. Again, another guy that, he actually just said this morning, the last few games, he's finally felt better. So getting them back, and I think that's where it started. They missed a lot on starting their own end. They need to play faster. And a lot of that is, I think, just puck management. They made mistakes. They used to be such an attack team. They're forecheck, quick. They did not give you any time. And that's the way the league's played now. You look at the top teams that can check and play fast. Carolina plays extremely fast, quick on the puck. And I think at times that, you know, when the thought process, the puck movement isn't quick, then your whole game slows down. It doesn't matter about the feet and the skating.
Well, you know what it is too. And we all know this, it's confidence, right?
They all,
like, you look at Pettersson in Vancouver, sorry to get off topic here. Pettersson at the start of the year, he looked like a fucking fourth liner in the league. Like, his confidence was so low, and now he's having a great year. I think it's a great point by Nides, is I think Vegas is squeezing their stick a little bit, and they feel the heat, they feel the pressure. They're Stanley Cup favorites, and you're right. I think that's bleeding into their game a little bit.
Yeah, I think confidence has been a major factor. It's the biggest factor when you have it both individually and for a team. You know when you're rolling as a team and you got that swag, even as a player, everything happens quicker, everything happens faster, everything's easier on the ice. You're seeing things. And when you're not, well, but confidence is earned, and that's what they've got to do. They've got to earn it. You've got to earn it this type of the year. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is preparation. There's different ways to do it, to break down the game, smaller sections by shift. I know it's cliche, but that's kind of the way to build it back up.
Yeah, I agree. And Nides, obviously, you know, we love Jack Eichel, and I think it's going to be a great move moving forward. I think Eichel is going to be the player that we all think he's going to be. And it's not so much even him, but the cap problem. Like, it's been a problem all year. It's talked about more than anything. Like, we've been in dressing rooms, right? Like, do you think that's bled into the room a little bit as well? And, like, fuck, enough's enough with the cap. Like, do you think it's been a distraction, Nights? I guess is my question.
I think it was maybe even more last year because, and again, I get all my seasons mixed up. It's like we've played three seasons here in the last 2 years with the bubble.
True,
But it has. It's been an issue for them. It really has. They've been up against the cap. And then when you get injuries, you know, it's tough. I think it was last year, Tomáš Nosek got injured with 9 days left in the season. So it has to be 10 days to put him on LTIR. They couldn't. And I think they played Colorado late in the year, and it was for the Presidents. And I think they had 15 skaters. They played great. The effort was there. And it is frustrating, I'm sure. But it's another one of those things you got to try and block out. They'd love to have more caps. They say they're going to be a cap team. You know, the owners said it. They're going to be a cap team, and it's great. It gives you an advantage. But I think there's certain areas that injuries have really hurt them this year.
Well, hey, listen,
we're taking it a little too far.
I'm all for going to the cap. I'm all for spending.
We're a little above right now.
I mean, when the cap's 82 and you're spending 100 bananas, it might be like, how are we going to maneuver? I don't know who their cap guy is in Vegas, but he needs a raise. I don't know what. I mean, there must be steam coming out of his ears.
I get brain cramps when I think about, you know, all the things and the, you know, certain guys go on and money you build up and certain transactions. But it has been going on. It's been a storyline in Vegas for a while about, you know, trying to find room to fit people in. And, you know, injuries have helped them do that. Guys have legitimately been hurt this year at an incredible pace. And not just guys, key guys.
Yeah. Robert Leonard, You know, obviously, it's, you know, everything he's come through off the ice, I give him so much credit. What's going on with him now is he's been hurt. Like, I mean, there was tweets coming out of Vegas, like, for the last couple months that he's on long-term IR, and then he's not. And then the next thing I turn the game on, and he's in between the pipes. So is, what have you heard on him? It's been a tough year for him. Are we going to see him again, or do you think he's done?
I have no idea. And he said, yeah, the report, that wasn't coming from the Golden Knights, but I think reports, no. Yeah, there's reports everywhere. And this is where, you know, social media is, you know, there's usually one side that comes out, or if somebody says something, then it's contradicted. And I don't think both sides of the story are out right now. And I don't know if they will be. I think, you know, Robin Lehner, certainly we all battle through things. Certainly this time of the year, guys are always banged up. Yeah. You know, usually what's the list? You guys, we've been on teams. It's usually after you're done the playoff hunt or after you're done playoffs, there's 3, 4, 5 guys that got to go get surgery. So, you know, and I don't know Robin's case. The only thing I know is, you know, I look at the performance. He was in that New Jersey game, that loss. There's a couple of goals. Certainly, I'm sure he'd like back, and some that they weren't happy with. Started the next game. They didn't like the first goal. It was tied 1-1. Then, you know, a bold move. They put Logan Thompson in. Pete DeBoer said he felt the team needed a momentum shift. Didn't like the way they finished after Washington scored that goal. And then Logan Thompson, the kids come in and performed and worked, and it was a performance-based move. And then all of a sudden we heard, you know, he would back up against the Sharks. And there was questions of whether Lehner would. He showed up for the game, and then the statement was released, he's getting surgery. So, you know, that's what we know. I'm sure there's a lot more to the story that will come out. Will he play for Golden Knights? I don't see why not if he's getting injury. But that's going to be decided all in the offseason at this point. And I think for the Golden Knights, I think the players coming into this game, they've moved on. I think, you know, Logan's the guy. They've got a ton of confidence. Jonathan Marchessault talked about his work ethic and practice the other day. They'll love the goalie that hates to get scored on, competes on every puck. And, you know, that's what you want in net. Those guys that compete. I love goalies that hated when the puck got behind him. Like Timmy Tom, I used to just push pucks even when it was between drills. He'd get mad and fired back at you. It's just, those are the guys that you want in net. So this young kid, quite a story. Brock University not long ago, yeah. AHL goalie of the year. Now he's the goalie trying to keep their playoff hopes alive here down the stretch.
No, it is a great story. And I was actually going to ask you next about him, but I got to be honest, I missed the silver pads. I like when he was rocking the silver pads in there. I'm like, I like this kid. I was at the game Wednesday, and he came out for the second. I'm like,
looking sharp.
Yeah, I got the new father. Got the new pads. I was like, if I'm him, I'm staying with those silver babies. I don't know. I like the silver knights.
Yeah, they're great pads. I don't look at pads. You into that? I was never into. I couldn't tell you what goalies wear or players. There's always certain guys.
All you did was see net. All you just saw net. You're like, fuck, I can't even see this goal.
I just saw players.
I just saw shin pads, knives. That's all I saw. I'm like, how am I going to get this past this guy's, the first guy in the lane here?
I just saw the glass, off the glass and out.
Yeah. No, it's a great story for him, and he's played great down the stretch. And what about Pete DeBoer? You talked about the injuries, and I got to meet Pete a couple years ago at O'Reilly Stanley Cup party. Played against Pete in junior, obviously in the NHL. He's a great person, great hockey guy. Is there any heat on him, Nides, or is it like, hey, listen, with all the injuries, we understand?
Well, I'm sure, you know, he's a coach. There's always heat. If you don't perform or you don't get to where you're expected to, I'm sure there's some heat. I don't think it's – to me, I think Pete DeBoer is an excellent coach. Great guy. I think he's done a good job with, you know, working this lineup, what he's had to have this year. I think this coaching staff's done a great job. But there's always heat. That's what you sign up for when you coach in the National Hockey League.
That's true.
Hey, Nides, what happened to our boy Darren Millard? I read a couple weeks ago he fell off his bike, and I like riding my mountain bike. I'm out there all the time. Did he just fucking head over tea kettle, or what did he do? Ass over tea kettle?
It was actually a lot worse than that. Yeah, and he doesn't like to use. I'm not allowed to use the word bicycle. He was cycling, road bike.
Oh, he's a cyclist. He wears the tight pants.
He's a cyclist. Yeah. So yeah, he was just actually cycling from kind of the area where he lived to City National Arena, and it's maybe a 10-minute bike, and something happened along the way. He doesn't remember.
Fuck.
And had he not had a helmet on, could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're glad, happy. He's the most positive guy, you know, that I've ever met. He just, and you know, he gets bored. He's a guy who likes to be busy. He loves this, like an absolute hockey nerd. Everything, knows everything, and wants to be in, watches games. So yeah, we missed him. He got a little concussed on us, a little banged up in the face. Wasn't pretty, especially initially. I think it looked good. He looked like a hockey guy.
Yeah, totally.
Bruised, black eye, some stitches. So he's back, getting back to full health, which we're all very happy. But yeah, it was a scary sight.
You got to give.
He looked like he played a 7-game series against the 70s fucking Flyers. Is what he looked like.
I forget.
Nick Schultz, or whatever his name was.
Hey, yeah, after it happened, he sent me a text. He said, it looks like I just went 10 rounds with, I forget who he said. And then Tyson. He sent me the picture from the hospital. I'm like, oh.
I text Gary Lawless. I said, what the fuck did you do to Millard? I had you take him out and get him pinned on the strip or what?
Yeah, in Vegas, you can look like that. You just fit in. You know, somebody had a hard night.
Yeah. Hey, how's our boy Gary doing? I watch your guys' telecast all the time. You do a phenomenal job. And Gary, Lawless in order, I love. He's got to be a fun guy to be around all the time.
Yeah, we got a really good crew. I don't know. He might be on the IR next. That's how bad injuries have been this year. Millard went off on the IR. I had rotator cuff surgery this year. Missed two games. Lawman's hobbling around. He's got a meniscus problem. I think our doc, one of the doctors broke his foot. It's been all around. It's been crazy.
The Vegas flu. Did you see your boy Zdena Chara just start pumping everyone the other day? Fuck. That clip was awesome. Huh?
You don't poke the bear. Just keep him quiet. He is such a massive human being. And even, he's only a year or two younger than me. He's still like,
that's nuts.
Carved out of stone and just insanely strong.
Dude, there was a handful of guys throughout our era, but when I lined up against Big Z, like, I was just looking at him, like, same thing as you. Like, nobody piss this guy off tonight. Like, don't hit him. Don't stick him. Play, like,
no.
Like, but, yeah, he was just talking those hurricanes. Like, it was like one of those carnival machines.
Yeah, everybody was just like, pins just falling down
everywhere. Whoever he could see.
And whoever was coming at him, he's just like, boom. He hammered that Martinook, I think. He went fucking flying. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, Martin, I read at the end.
That's funny though. I was watching the game after you had your shoulder done and you had the harness on there. I'm like, I said, even Nige is hurt for the fucking Vegas.
Yeah, that was part old injury and new injury. So, that was my second rotation. My other one happened when I was with, right before I was going to become teammates with Uppy in Arizona. I got injured second or last day at camp and tore my rotator.
Really? Before.
That was my first time I ever went without a contract to camp.
So you've done a PTO as well.
I went on a PTO.
Yeah, there we go.
We all have.
I had a good camp. My agent was talking. Who was Maloney, the GM there?
Yeah, he was Donnie.
He's like, let's talk in a day. It's been a good camp. We'll get something done. And literally, I think as the next session I went out, I felt a click in my arm and I tried not to get an MRI for a few days, but I couldn't do anything. Finally sent me in rotator. Those guys took off. And I missed, not only that, I think you guys went to Prague, didn't you? Was that the
year? Yes, sir.
Prague?
Fuck.
What a city.
It sure was, Nides.
It hurt on a lot of areas. No contract, out for 5-6 months or the season, and I missed Prague.
Prague's the reason I got traded.
I could have used you in Prague too, eh? I could have used you. You'd have been a good wingman for me out in Prague.
I might have been.
I'd have followed your coattail.
Prague's the reason I got traded from Tampa to Vancouver. We went over there 13 days before the game. 13. I mean, I went out 10 straight. Bugsy went out 13 straight. I asked Brian Lott. Brian Lott was a GM. I did a little NHL thing with him. Nides. I'm like, I got to ask you a question, Lott. I've never asked you this. What were you thinking taking the boys 13 days before a game? Like, what'd you expect us to do? Like, you know, he's like, well, you didn't
team
have to go.
Team bonding hopes.
He's like, you didn't have
bonding.
To go out 10 straight. I'm like, that's a good point, Lots. Maybe I need to go 10, maybe just 5 or 6. So.
Yeah. Is Bugsy playing in that new 3-on-3 league?
I don't know. Is he?
I was actually going to talk to you about this today. Yeah, they had a little camp in Vegas this past weekend.
Yeah.
So was he out there?
I think I saw.
Because he probably would have hit you up.
I saw his list. There's no way I could. You could.
Yeah.
You could get out there, Uppy.
I don't know.
He'd probably get hurt, though, after a couple games. Fall on the board.
I just stick to those alumni games nights. Fuck, I'm doing good in those. That's good for me.
So talk to me about this 3-on-3 thing. What is it? Elite?
Oh, it's the 3-ice. Yeah, it's thrice. Okay. They did their training camp this past weekend, evaluation camp. But they got, like, Fierzy's a coach.
Larry Murphy,
Joe Mullen. Larry they got Murphy. A bunch of different coaches.
Good first pass on Larry and, Murphy. And I remember back in the day, good first pass.
It's ex-pros with no contract. And it's three on three.
I'm talking about Pollocks with no future.
It's like eight cities. So they're doing an eight-city tour. Talk about a little fuck fest.
Why are you not playing in this?
Yeah. I don't know. I might have to. Well, let's reach out.
Wow. That's...
Larry Murphy. I was in camp with him.
Were you really?
Well, 97 with Detroit. I was with Detroit organization when they're, you know, Bowman and they had like the Hall of Fame team back then. They're just coming off, I think, their second cup. You know, Yzerman, Chelios, Shanahan, Murphy, Lindstrom. Well, you know, list goes on and on. And all my first camp there, I'll never forget, we'd always boot up to Traverse City. They're, you know, and you had the veterans bus. They're loading golf clubs and beer. Then there's us. Our testing back then was you rode the bike for 6 minutes and did you practice Detroit, rode the bike for 6 minutes, did some bench press. And then they took your heart rate. And then
make sure you don't die out there.
Some pull-ups, and then you hopped on the bus and went to Traverse City. Hey, it was great.
You're like, those guys are going to go play golf. I'm going to Traverse City to fight seven meatheads in this fucking rookie tournament. Remember those rookie tournaments back in the day?
I didn't do rookie tournaments. I was too old. I got to skip that. I went right to main camp. So, nice. I was with Detroit. And I'll never forget, you know how you do the opening meetings? They're different when the coach and GM speak. I remember Larry Murphy and Jamie McCowan walked in double fisted. Hey, is this thing started yet? Imagine seeing that today.
The game's changed. Too much.
That's when the game was the best, right?
Yeah, even the coaches were fucking throwing a couple back. Just enjoying it.
Man.
Enjoy this.
Nige, we appreciate you taking time. Enjoy the game tonight. You staying in Dallas after the game, or are you guys flying out?
Well, we got Chicago tomorrow night.
So right to Chi-Town.
But no time in Chicago. Just back to back and then to St. Louis for the last one of the year. It's all right. The place I always return home is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I was just there on Wednesday night. I actually kept it together for the first time ever in Vegas where I wasn't like leaving the Rhino at 6. I kept it together for the first time. So nice. Thank you, buddy. We're a big fan of yours and you'd be great to miss a curfew. So thank you. Good luck tonight. Say hi to Lawless for us, will you?
Thanks, brother.
All right. Always a pleasure, guys. Get Weddle, Uppy. We'll talk to you guys later. Take care, Obi.
Up Dog, thanks to Shane Knighty. Nides, he's a member of the Missing Curfew team, right? He's
fucking well-spoken cat.
Good-looking cat. Good style.
Yeah. Nice
teeth.
Great little transition for him, too. He got to leave Winnipeg and go right to Vegas.
Yeah, and so did Lawless, too. Both those boys. They got
someone.
Is Millard their boy? Is that how they did it?
Millard came after. Millard came after, but... No, good for them. And, you know, he cares about that team. You can tell. You know, he wants to be playing fucking hockey deep in the playoffs.
So they're 3 points out. They play Dallas tonight. We're recording on Tuesday. Everyone will know the outcome of this.
Dallas
comes out Thursday.
Is what, 1 point up on them?
Dallas is 3 points up, same amount of games.
Oh, so they're fucking.
They got to win tonight in regulation. They lose tonight. It's corn dogs.
It's corn dogs, Jackie.
I got to say, as much as it kills me, because I love Pickup and Riley and Nides and Lala, they're done. Right?
I think so. After, like, you know, after chatting with him, you kind of confirm that, like, they might have just handed it in.
They might have just mailed her in.
They mailed it in.
I think, FedEx, I don't know, maybe it's not maybe it's not the worst thing. They don't get in. Everyone take a deep breath. Forget about the year. Kelly McCrimmon, George McPhee, get to work, figure out what you want, get Eichel, you know, full summer, full training camp, Stone get his back fixed. Maybe it's, you know, a blessing in disguise if they don't make it.
Let me ask you this. If they get in, do they play Colorado first round? Because they done.
Right now, they would play the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, so that saves them a week of just pain.
Do you think Colorado is like, fuck, I don't want to play Vegas. I'd rather play Dallas. No?
No, I think they know that there's just something missing with the Knights this year that would be a cakewalk.
I'll tell you what, that Sam Girard, he there's no way he's forgot that game six he played last year at T-Mobile. That one stays with you forever. So, Up Dog, I appreciate you battling through it here. Feel better, my man. Get an IV in you. Hydrate. Binger, Maxi, thank you, Hall Pass Media. That was Mr. Kirby.